listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening, everybody. Please take some time to greet one another in the Lord. Say hi, wave. There you go. We are continuing with our look at stewardship, especially concentrating this year on the gift of time that God gave us. And how we ought to use our time. It really is about growing and maturing in the Lord and recognizing how we do so. Let's begin our worship with our first hymn, From High Atop the Mount. It's hymn 635. If you'd like to follow it there, it's set up a little bit weird. They have the two verses, one on either side, and they pop one into the middle, and that's what it is there if you're looking in your hymnal. So, From High Atop the Mount.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Timothy Kuski will bring us a message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. This can't wait till tomorrow. Our worship this morning will follow setting 9, and this will be on the screen and in your bulletin today. We will join this congregation opening our service and singing hymn number 635 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, From High Atop the Mount, hymn number 635. For more information about St. John's congregation, go to stjohnsbaraboo.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and our Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by his death on the cross, freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God now and forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Pray. Mercifully grant, O God, that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. For without your help, we are unable to please you through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our first lesson is from Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 12. If there is any fire and brimstone, boy, this one is it. I hate to tell you. But it's the long history of people getting comfortable with the Lord and not obeying the third commandment. And just like, well, your boyfriend or girlfriend may not like you ignoring them, so does our God. Not like that. And so he gets fed up after a while. We read from Amos chapter 8. Listen to this, you who trample on the needy to wipe out the oppressed from the land, who say, when will the new moon be over so we can sell grain? When will the Sabbath end so that we can open the grain bins? Then we'll make the bushel smaller and make the shekel weight heavier. We will cheat with dishonest sales. We will buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. We will sell the chaff with the grain. The Lord swears by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget any of their deeds. Because of this, the land will shake, and everyone living in it will mourn. The whole land will rise up like the Nile. It will surge and sink down like the Nile of Egypt. Here is what will happen on that day, declares the Lord God. I will make the sun set at noon. I will bring darkness on the earth when it should be light. I will turn your festivals into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will put sackcloth on all your waists and baldness on every head. I will make that day like the morning of an only son, and it will end like a bitter day. Look, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine into the land. Not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but rather a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stumble from sea to sea and from north to east. They will roam back and forth seeking the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with our Psalm 62C. It is in hymn form. It's a nice one. You've heard this one before, and it's just a beautiful way to sing a psalm.
Thank you.
Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, where God reminds us that his rest, in Hebrew, the word for rest is Sabbath, that his rest is found in Christ. And that is the most comforting and encouraging thing. And that's why he wants you to come and hear him, so that you may have comfort, that you may have strength, you may have rest to take on the sinful world. We read from Hebrews 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be fearful that any one of you may be judged to have failed to reach it. In fact, we have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united in faith with those who did listen. Indeed, we who believe are going to enter his rest. It happened just as he vowed when he said, "So I swore an oath in my wrath, they will never enter my rest." And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in this way, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works." And again in this statement, "They will never enter my rest." Therefore, since it is still the case that some do enter this rest, and yet those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not enter because of disobedience, God again set a certain day, namely today, when he later said through David, as quoted before, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, then God would not have spoken later about another day. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God rested from his work. Therefore, let us make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the point of dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, even being able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from him, but everything is uncovered and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we will give an account. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise, and we will speak the gospel acclamation. Ready? Alleluia. Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Alleluia. Our gospel lesson is found in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, where Jesus teaches us a lesson about the Sabbath on the Sabbath. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and a woman was there who had a spirit that had disabled her for 18 years. She was bent over and could not stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." He placed his hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight and began to glorify God. But the ruler of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. He said to the crowd in response, "There are 6 days to do work, so come here to be healed on those days and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord answered him, "Hypocrites, doesn't each of you untie his ox or his donkey from the manger on the Sabbath and lead it to water? Here is a daughter of Abraham whom Satan has bound for 18 years. Shouldn't she be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" And he said these things. As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. But the entire crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things he was doing. The gospel of the Lord. praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated, and we will sing another song, Come Away from Rush and Hurry. And I'm going to be the cantor on verse 1. Rachel's going to play the first verse for you. And hurry to the stillness of God's peace. From our vain ambition's worry, come to Christ to find release. Come away from noise and clamor, life's demands and frenzied pace. Come to join the people gathered here to seek and find God's grace. Join me. In the pastures of God's goodness, we lie down to rest our soul. From the waters of God's mercy, we drink deeply, are made whole. At the table of God's presence, all the saints are richly fed with the oil of God's anointing. Into service we are led. Come then, children, with your burdens, life's confusions, fears, and pain. Leave them at the cross of Jesus. Take instead his kingdom's rich. Thirst, for he will quench them. He alone will satisfy all our longings, find attainment when to self we gladly die. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Dear children of God, my parents taught me that there are some things that cannot wait for tomorrow. Just can't. They made sure I learned that by making sure I had a paper route. Mine was a morning paper route for the Detroit Free Press. And, okay, all you adults are going to say, yeah, okay, I do that. But here I am, a kid, and I had to get up every day, 6 o'clock, right? My bike had to be oiled and ready to go, not beat up from last night's wheelies. And I had to deliver the papers. And boy, oh boy, you can hear me complaining, right? In the winter, too? You know? Nope, I got you, didn't I? There are some things that just won't wait until tomorrow, right? And we learn that in various jobs, and it's an important thing to learn. Well, Jesus has, you know, in our gospel lesson, Jesus didn't want to wait till tomorrow, and yet another person did. And here are some things that ought never to wait for tomorrow. That is, freeing us from Satan's power, right? And the other thing is, glorifying God. At the start of our gospel reading, Jesus is doing what he regularly does. He went to worship at the synagogue. It's like our church. The word synagogue means gathering place in Greek. We got it from other languages to get church, but it means the same thing, gathering place. All right. But there he was, teaching in the synagogue on the Lord's day. He obeyed the third commandment. He didn't always preach, but he regularly did. And we regularly find him who wrote the scriptures themselves there worshiping. I think that's an amazing example when you really think about it. He really didn't need it for his own soul, but for the good of his fellow Christians, his fellow believers, he wanted to be there to encourage them. Right? He did not let life get in the way of his spiritual life, because this can't be put off till tomorrow. Okay, so all the usual suspects were there. The every Sabbath worshipers, right? The synagogue ruler. The upstanding members of the community were there, right? And then there's one you hardly even notice. We read, she had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. She's not singing a song as she comes in to worship. She's coming to find the spiritual rest she needs because she has this strange infirmity. And no one looks twice at her. Probably doesn't know very many people. She might be one of those very meek people who don't peep up, you know, not like me, who's willing to just say hi to everybody, right? This is a shy person. She doesn't seek an audience. She does no great deeds. She can't even, well, she couldn't even do a paper route in her condition, right? She can't do anything. She's so bent over, her spine so crooked. Oh, man. And nobody wants to look at her. Except Jesus. Gracious and merciful Jesus. He knew exactly what had happened to her. And Jesus notices the one who thinks, no one will ever notice me. I love what the scripture says, and this is one that we look over it far too many times, because can you imagine being in the shoes of those disciples when something like this happened? And so they wrote down again and again when these things happened, behold! That's the way it was in the King James. It's kind of like in modern English, hey, pay attention. Take a look at this. This is worthy of note, all right? And it says it here. And if it didn't say it, probably we wouldn't hardly notice what Jesus did. But let's be those listeners to God when the Holy Spirit says, hey, look at this. And what happened? In the middle of his sermon, Jesus saw her and he called out to her, right? How do you think this shy person is feeling? You know? Is he going to scold me because he's going to tell me that the demon is my fault? Do I have to be in front of every? Does everybody have to look at me? I can barely do my hair in the condition I'm in. You know, you can imagine her thoughts going through her head. Can't this wait? Everyone in the room turned their head toward her, and that's exactly what Jesus wanted to happen. He wanted them to notice this daughter of Abraham, and he wanted them to have compassion on her, like he did. And I love the way it says it. He says he called her up. Can you imagine how long it took her to get there, you know? Walking all the way up. And what does Jesus say? Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. What? What did you say? Here she is, looking at his feet. Probably couldn't hear exactly right. You sure you don't want to say, well, come back tomorrow? Sure you don't want to say, hey, you know, this is a place for people who are healthy? But in Jesus' mind, this can't wait. This can't wait. How many this can't waits do you have? Remember when your two-year-old boy was so interested in something else and he's sitting there going like this? And you got to teach him, this can't wait, you know? And you take him to the restroom. All the this can't wait that are in our lives, and oh man, I need a break right now. This can't wait. Right? But no, Jesus says, you belong here. Come on up front. I want to have a moment with you. Jesus notices these meek and lowly folks. He understands who they are. She's been hunched over for 18 years. Nobody knows what to do about it. Can you imagine how lonely that was for her? And he says, you're released from your infirmity. And it's so sudden, he has to, you know, touch her and lift up her shoulder. And she realizes there's no pain. Something has changed. And what does she do? The first thing she does is glorify God. Oh my. Okay, I get it. We're not Baptists here. I'm not going to pick on the Baptists because actually it's probably pretty cool. When they hear something wonderful, they say, glory be, hallelujah. That's what she was doing, right? She just felt a miracle for her. And I'll tell you, okay, I'm a Lutheran, but if you have a miracle happen to you in church, you can yell hallelujah. I'll let you. All right. I'm teasing a little. We just don't do that in a Lutheran church, but that's okay. It's a wonderful way to think about it and wonderful to see. She glorified God. She knew that this was God acting on her. Until this moment, she had done nothing. She was just being called up front. She was getting nervous to be out there in front of somebody famous. We've heard nothing from her. Hunched over, unseen, timid, and now she's shouting to the heavens. Why do you think? Well, duh. She got relief from the Lord. This is the Sabbath day. And her rest was so that she didn't have to rest anymore. She didn't have to rest her back anymore. Wow, how wonderful after 18 years of crippling problems. You know what? We have people like that here, don't we? You step into church. And I know, somebody new comes and they sit in your place. Oh, no. But what about those who, you know, and then of course you're all Lutherans, so you all sit in the back. Okay, not all of you. I see you, Jeannie. Thank you. They all sit in the back. But what about those folks who come in, and they come in after the bell, and the people are singing, and they just sneak right in. They don't want anybody to see them. And you don't know what's going on in their life. But it's been torture. It's been difficult. It's been hard. How many people are out there like that? How many of you noticed? I get it. It's hard to do that. But wouldn't you want somebody to come and say hello? Wouldn't you want somebody to greet you at least? Someone to say hi, to say welcome to our worship. You know? That's the least we could do for them, to at least brighten their day a little bit. Let's take notice of those who are beset by Satan in so many different ways, who have problems that none of us will ever know. You see, Jesus noticed these things, and he even notices it even deeper. He knows when Satan is tempting us, when he has curbed us in on ourselves so that we just want to go into a fetal position and say, oh my, it's so hard. He knows how helpless you are. He knows that you know that you don't deserve to be in God's presence here. And then there's gracious and loving Jesus inviting you to the front and telling you your sins are forgiven. What relief. Let us rejoice in the word that we preach, that Jesus preached, because it's about freeing people from Satan. It's about freeing ourselves from, through repentance and faith, letting Christ make us feel free and know that we are in fact free from the punishment for our sins. That's the rest God wants to give you. You see, God wants you to look not through the eyes of an average American. He wants you to look through Jesus' eyes at those who are around you. Take a look at those around you tonight. He knows every creak and every crack of your spine and your soul. He knows how hard it is to get up on a Sunday morning because it's the only day you got to rest, and yet how important it is that you get that coffee in the morning and bleary-eyed go off to church. He knows that in every devotion that you have with Him, you have more of Jesus' attention than He has of yours. He's paying attention to you. So gather your family around for a devotion, and you say to yourself, oh, I'm not that family. I don't got it together enough. I see that family, they got it together. Not my family. Oh my goodness. How can we do a devotion? Well, okay. When you got 5 and 6 kids, that can be rough. Got to find something that'll catch them. But what about doing it for yourself? What about being that family? Letting Christ help you put it together. Can this wait till tomorrow? Let's make sure that we are deliberate about our worship, because we know that's what the Sabbath is all about, the rest that we receive for our spiritual lives, the rest that God promised from eternity, the rest that only God can give, the rest that God showers down us again and again with the forgiveness of sins, right? And yet here at our church we have to deal with that when June comes along, we know that there's probably 75 less people in church on a Sunday. I think that's sad. Are you visiting other churches? Are you visiting some of our sister churches? Like Jesus went from church to church? Jesus came to preach about the gospel to the poor and heal the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives. And here we see one of those opportunities that Jesus did it for, this poor woman. And after that tremendous miracle, the synagogue ruler speaks up. And notice how carefully it says, he didn't speak to Jesus. Jesus was in the middle of his sermon when he talked to this lady, and all of a sudden he speaks to the congregation. And notice what he says. Why don't you come be healed tomorrow? Come tomorrow. This is something that can wait till tomorrow, from his point of view. Wherever Jesus is, we know that there is opposition. And here it comes from a man who's supposed to be religious. And isn't that sad that it happens? That there are people within the church who just can't control their mouths, who just say the first thing on their minds, and then their pride takes over and they don't want to give up what they said. These are ones that Christ died for too. These are the ones that Christ loves. But when, you know, and I think it's important to see this. Here, this man was trying to rebuke Jesus and his own congregation, and Jesus turns the tables and rebukes him. You know, It's amazing how Jesus has some really good timing. Never seems to be the right timing if you're, you know, normal people. Oh my goodness, do you really want to upset a whole congregation by upsetting the guy who is the synagogue ruler, the one they elected to be in charge of things? No, this can't wait. And even though the timing might be a little inconvenient for some, it's important for us to know that Jesus wants to lead you in glorifying our God. He wants you to know that you have been freed from Satan's power. You know what Jesus said? He said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound," think of it, "for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" Now is the time. There's no better time, is there? Some might think it's inconvenient, but Jesus didn't think so. I guess maybe you'd understand it well if you're a, you know, if you're a pet owner. How many of you had dogs, you know? What's the first thing that happens in the morning, right? Oh my, they're wagging their tail. Some of them are trained to grab onto that leash and pull it to you, right? Because something's got to happen at 5:30 in the morning because the sun came up. Yep, it's time to go out, right? They don't go by the clock, do they? This can't wait. That joy that you give to your dog when you take him out, think how much more that is for those who are blessed by hearing God's word, for those who know God's grace. But sometimes we're better at putting off Jesus than we are at putting off our pets. How important for us to take a look at ourselves and see how important Jesus really is to us and act on it. Jesus sees the sin at work in our hearts and how helpless we are against it. And so we need to seek Him to overcome even the sin of not hearing God's word. Hearing Christ, there's always the right time for that. There's always, you know, in our world, there's always people doing the most crazy thing at the most inconvenient time. If you ever drove on a highway, you know that. All of a sudden, somebody cuts into your lane. But you know, with Christ, if we think His timing was bad, well, then we're always going to be in the wrong. No matter what, it always ends up working out in the end, and this is exactly what Jesus did for this congregation. Showing His love to that woman, and even though He took that synagogue ruler to task, I hope that he heard God's grace, that he finally understood and looked at himself to see, you know, my pride got in the way. I hope you have that same opportunity. When Jesus breaks into your routine and does glorious things for you like He did here, wake up. Take a look. Look at yourself and see God's grace and mercy. Jesus is always willing to keep His promises. And we know what those promises are. He promised to free us from Satan. He promised to give us opportunity to glorify Him. We have that every Sunday here. Let's pause and seek the rest that only He can give, that joy and that peace that that woman had. As you see opportunities to glorify Him, do it then too. With your family in the car, every night at the table when you're eating. This can't wait till tomorrow. Amen. Please rise. Now may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves so that you will follow Jesus Christ, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with our confession of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for our prayer of the church. We have so many to pray for today. Lord God, give rest to the souls of those who are experiencing difficulties in this life. Let's start there. We pray for the brother-in-law, or the family of the brother-in-law of Karen and Eric Korthels. Give them comfort and strength through his final bout with cancer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for all that you have done for Willow Grace Smittle. She has gone home. We rejoice, and yet she's going to have yet another surgery this week. Lord God, you have blessed her so much in her short life. Lord God, continue to be with her and her family. We rejoice that she's healthy enough to go home. Bless and encourage that family with your healing hand. We also pray for a group at St. Paul's in Eau Claire that were enjoying a hayride this weekend. This is one of our sister churches, and many were hurt, and even one is in intensive care. Lord God, bless and encourage these young people who were on the hayride and their adult chaperones. Bring them all back to health, if it is your will. We pray for that church and how difficult it is for the volunteers that had the little accident are feeling so bad today. Lord God, bless them all and bring them together in unity about one another in love. All this we ask in Jesus' name. We pray for Ray Fisk's brother-in-law. He too is suffering a life-ending issue. And Ray has been a rock for his sister and for the family. Bless us to understand God's healing hand and that he gives it when it is the right time. But he also takes us to heaven when it is the right time. Lord God, bless his witness to his family, that they may be encouraged by the grace of our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Lord God, help us when we are like that woman, meek and struggling with things in our lives. Open our eyes to see where our own pride and our own sins have gotten in the way. Help us not to be like that synagogue ruler who stuck his foot in his mouth. Lord God, help us to consider what your word says and do so on a regular basis. Help us find the spiritual rest we need every day, and especially when we gather with our fellow Christians for sacred assembly on Sunday. Lord God, bless our worship to give us a rest that only you can give. Amen. Our offering is at the door. We continue with, "Behold a host arrayed in white." Please rise for our short prayers. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart that, being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. We conclude with one more song of joy and peace. Come unto me, ye weary. Hymn 706, Come unto me, ye weary.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin comes to you at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or streaming online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The television rebroadcast of service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch our services on St. John's Lutheran Church School's Facebook and YouTube pages at 9 a.m. every Sunday morning. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in the three-year-old preschool through the eighth grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments address to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913 are greatly appreciated. The television producer is Will Underwood. This is David Grant. We would like to remind everyone that we have an upcoming congregation meeting that will be held on Sunday, September 29th, following the 9 a.m. service. This is a significant meeting, and as part of the agenda, we will be holding a pre-call meeting for a principal, as well as reviewing our current stewardship and financial status. The purpose of the pre-call meeting is for the congregation to discuss a call recommendation by leadership. In the event that the congregation decides to extend a call for principal, the call meeting will be on Tuesday, October 15th at 6:30 p.m. We encourage all voting members of St. John's to attend. Also, St. John's is committed to having dedicated and committed leadership. We need member involvement in to fill these leadership roles. On January 12, 2025, a congregation will be held for the election of officers, including the council chairman position. Please consider participating in St. John's as a member of our leadership team. You can contact the church office or our president for further information. May God lead you and bless you to a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for him who died for you.